The World This Week. President Carter plays the Olympic card.
Neither I nor the American people would support the sending of an American team to Moscow with Soviet invasion troops in Afghanistan.
American reporters get the heave from Afghanistan and Iran.
They're saying, tidy up your affairs and get out quickly.
Mr. Justice Douglas is dead.
The court is really the keeper of the conscience.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A U.S. boycott of the Summer Olympic Games in Moscow had been considered at the White House almost as the first Russian soldiers began crossing into Afghanistan. By week's end, the U.S. position took form. President Carter saying on NBC's Meet the Press that unless the Soviets withdraw from Afghanistan in a month, the Games should be moved from Moscow to an alternate site or be postponed or canceled. He said it is not a decision he took lightly.
It's very important for the world to realize how serious a threat the Soviets' invasion of Afghanistan is. I do not want to inject politics into the Olympics, and I would personally favor the establishment of a permanent Olympic site for both the summer and the winter games. In my opinion, the most appropriate permanent site for the summer games would be Greece.
The International Olympic Committee has said moving the Moscow Games would be impossible now. Britain and Canada have said they'll go along with a boycott, but there's little enthusiasm for such a move among other U.S. allies. A look at the Afghan affair after this.
If you're looking for a sensible way you can profit instead of being squeezed by today's high interest rates, call this toll-free number right now. 800-228-5000. Ask the operator to send you detailed information on Dreyfus Liquid Assets. Find out how you can take advantage of the income-earning opportunity that Dreyfus offers with its money market fund. Consider the benefits. Your money works hard because you participate in today's rising money market, and it's always available when you need it. Plus, you get the flexibility of withdrawing cash by phone or writing checks to pay larger bills. No charge for the checks and never a penalty or sales charge. Today, you owe it to yourself to earn as much as you can on your money. So call 800-228-5000 for complete information and a prospectus including management fee, charges, and expenses. Read the prospectus carefully before you invest. Learn how you can get the lion's share of today's high interest rates from Dreyfus Liquid Assets. 800-228-5000. Toll free. 800-228-5000. Dreyfus pays for the call.
This week began with the UN General Assembly's overwhelming condemnation of the Soviet intervention in Afghanistan. That may have sparked a change of strategy in the Kremlin. In Moscow, Gordon Joselov reports that the Soviets appear to be embarking on a peace offensive aimed primarily at Western Europe.
The line goes something like this. Just because the United States has been shown to be an unreliable partner who goes back on international agreements, this doesn't mean détente with Western Europe can't continue. France and West Germany are prime targets. There also seems to be increased efforts to provide as much convincing evidence as possible to third world nations that it is the United States which has long been interfering in Afghanistan's affairs. Soviet diplomats were stunned by last week's lopsided UN General Assembly vote on a resolution calling for withdrawal of all foreign forces from Afghanistan, especially the number of third world and Muslim nations lining up against Moscow. Soviet officials here say the third world nations reported unbearable U.S. pressure on them to vote for the resolution. So Moscow is now seeking to recoup those losses, trying to consolidate its position diplomatically around the world while it consolidates its position militarily in Afghanistan. Gordon Joselov, CBS News, Moscow.
American reporters were accused of biased reporting and thrown out of Afghanistan this week. A replay of events in Iran, where one of the last links between the American hostages and their homeland was broken. Among the U.S. reporters evicted from Tehran, Bert Quint, who's in Rome now. He looks back at the past year in Iran and finds some ironic parallels.
Ayatollah Khomeini remains the supreme chief, but just as last winter you would hear shouts of death to the Shah in the streets of Iran, now you hear, sporadically and isolated though they may be, shouts of death to Khomeini. These are the cries of followers of the rival religious leader, Ayatollah Shariat Madari, who objects to the autocratic powers Khomeini has assumed, and of ethnic minorities traditionally opposed to any central government in Tehran. The reporting of clashes between Khomeini's and Shariat Madari's followers was one of the causes of the ouster of American journalists, And just as there was jailing of political opponents and execution of political enemies of the Shah, now there is repression of the enemies of Khomeini. An example was the execution of 11 of Shariat Madari's followers after the recent rioting in Tabriz. The degree of unrest is different. Millions protested against the Shah and his regime, while today Khomeini still seems to enjoy considerable respect and popularity among the Iranian masses. But you do sense an unease that, given the country's economic problems, especially the high rate of unemployment, and the lack of an efficient central government, could become more widespread. Bert Quint, CBS News, Rome.
This week's gold story, more of the same, as the price of an ounce skyrocketed past the $800 level. Surgeons in Yugoslavia this week decided that the left leg of 87-year-old President Tito would have to be amputated. A blockage in the blood vessel was getting worse. The surgery was performed. Tito's reported in good condition. The United States this week lost a man whom President Carter called the mightiest of champions of individual freedom. Former Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas died. He was 81. He served longer on the Supreme Court than anyone else, nearly 37 years. And from that vantage point, had definite ideas of the high court's role in society.
The court is really the keeper of the conscience. And the conscience is the Constitution. And it's very important to have a keeper of the conscience, an independent group, above the storm, free from political influence.
The political storm continues, though, building in intensity in this election year. Rod McLeish has some thoughts in this week's commentary.
President Carter celebrates his third year in office today. The opening challenges to his continued occupancy have been building all week to a climax in tomorrow's Iowa caucuses. There are, of course, two different sorts of challenge to Mr. Carter in Iowa and the pre-convention season that now begins. There's a challenge from within his own party. The issue there is less policy, more performance in office. So far, Mr. Carter is winning because of the personal controversies, mostly about Chappaquiddick, that churn around Senator Kennedy, and because two foreign crises have improved the president's own image. The second challenge to Jimmy Carter from the Republicans will be based on policy, how to do things differently. But no distinct Republican policy has emerged yet because the GOP candidates range across the spectrum from the conservative Ronald Reagan to the liberal Republican Congressman John Anderson of Illinois. So, Mr. Carter can celebrate his White House anniversary in a condition of temporary reprieve. His presidential performance will probably be ratified by Democrats in Iowa tomorrow night. No preferred Republican policy is likely to emerge from the GOP caucus. But a volatile political year has just begun. Rod McLeish, CBS News, Washington.
The World This Week, produced by Harry Polosian. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.